The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Where he writes that when one speaks Lashon Hara, there's a possibility of not only transgressing the mitzvahs which are explicit in regards to this prohibition, but there are many related, very serious mitzvahs attached to it, and no less than 17 negative commandments and 14 positive commandments. And we started to go through them last week. I would like to continue to see if we can finish at least all of the negative commandments this evening, and take the liberty somewhat of deviating from the parsha of Parshas Truma. Although Lashon Hara is also linked with Parshas Truma, with the building of the Mishkan, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded of the building of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary, and he, in our parsha, gives Moshe the instruction as to what materials should be offered, so it's mentioned materials for the Mizbeach HaKteris, for the inner altar, and the Kteris HaSamim, the incense, and also the materials for the garments of the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara tells us that the Mizbeach HaKteris, which was basically used, well, it was very much used for incense, and incense could be offered only on that Mizbeach, the Kteris came to be Machaper al Lashon Hara. It came as a kapora, as an atonement on Lashon Hara, and also of the Big Day Kohen Gadol, the priestly garments. There was one beged, which was called the Ne'il, and it was sort of a cloak which he wore, and it had bells attached to it. So when he would walk, it would make a call, a sound. The Gemara says this also came to be Mechaper, was an atonement on Lashon Hara, but also was given, that was made through a sound. So if we want to find a link to the present Parsha, we can. But basically, I would like to continue what we were speaking about last week, since it's such a vitally important area. Now, just to very concisely recap what we spoke about last week. First of all, the Chemera Inyan, the severity, the great severity of the Aveira, the Chofetz Chaim brings that this is what caused the first chait with Adam HaRishon. It was through Lashon Hara that Chava gave him, the Lashon Hara of the serpent that Chava gave him from the fruit to eat, and subsequently it brought death to the entire world. It was the cause of the Golus Mitzrayim, of us going down to Egypt, because the first one to go was Yosef, and he was sent there because of slander. It was the cause of all of our exiles, because of the Meraglim. When the scouts came to the land, they slandered Eretz Yisrael. It was, the Gemara tells us, the cause of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and of Beitar. And then the Chofetz Chaim writes that one of the reasons why the Torah was so stringent against this Aveira is because they encompass just about all of the negative commandments and the positive commandments between man and his fellow man, and also many between man and the Almighty. And then we mentioned that there are eight principles which one must keep in mind when we deal with Lashon Hara. And one is that the definition of Lashon Hara is when you say divrei ganai, negativism, criticism, you downride the personality or the reputation of your fellow man. That's Lashon Hara. Rechilus, which is another related prohibition, that's talebearing. When Reuven did something or said something bad about Shimon, if you go and you tell Shimon this, that this is what Reuven said or did, that's rechilus. There is no distinction whether what you are saying is true or not true. all the time it's considered Lashon Hara, even if it's absolutely true. If it's not true, then it involves other Averis. There's no distinction. If it's in, not in his presence, or in the presence of the one who's being spoken against, we'll see this evening that if it's in his presence, then it involves other Averis also. And the prohibition is equal to the Mesaper, to the one who speaks the Lashon Hara, or to the one who's Mekabel, who accepts it. The fact is, many times the one who accepts even plays a greater role. What does it mean to accept Lashon Hara? If you believe it. If it makes any imprint on you and you believe it, then you also share in the Aveira of Lashon Hara. And then we mention one other point, that even though sometimes it's permissible and sometimes it's even advisable and incumbent upon a person to say Lashon Hara. For example, if someone calls you up on a recommendation, he wants to hire a certain man, and you know this man is dangerous, say he's a ganef or he's a criminal, so you're obligated to help protect your fellow man. But one must be very careful before he enters into such situations, because the laws are very intricate and so much is at stake. And the Chofetz Chaim writes on that, he said the best example is Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef brought slander of his brethren back to his father, and there was no doubt that his intentions were good, and still with all of his good intentions we see how much it helped him, that because of this he was sold as a slave and went into Mitzrayim and Egypt and everything that followed. Now, last week we spoke about six commandments. Those of you who weren't here, you can, we have a very good tape department which distributes tapes of the shurim, so can consult those tapes. Now we will continue further. The seventh negative commandment is Leisishna Esochicho Bilvavecho. In Parshas Kedeshim, Yutes Posuk Yud Zayin, the Torah states, Leisishna Esochicho Bilvavecho. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You should rebuke him. If you have something against him, then you must rebuke him. But you shall not hate your brother in your heart. This is a negative commandment. Now here the Torah is referring to hatred in one's heart that's besesa, that he does not tell the other person about. If it's begolui, if it's open, if there's an open manifestation for it, then that's not this prohibition. There are, might be other prohibitions, which we will see in a few minutes. But this prohibition is when you hate a fellow Jew and you do not tell him about it. You keep it to yourself. And the Torah was particularly concerned with this. Why? Because if it's an open hatred, well, let's put it this way. This type of hatred is more dangerous than an open hatred. Because if it's an open sin, an open hatred, then the other person knows how to safeguard himself from it. He knows what to do in regards to it. But if it's a concealed hatred, so then the other person does not know how to deal with it. This means that as far as he knows, you're his friend. Except behind your back, he's not your friend. Right. And if a person does this, then he transgresses this negative commandment. Leisisno esochicho bilvavecho, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Generally, when one speaks Lashon Hara, it's on that basis. Because usually one speaks Lashon Hara about another person, not in his presence. And in his presence he doesn't say anything. So he's showing a hatred for him. He has a hatred for him, but it doesn't reveal to him. If that would be the case, then he would transgress this leisasa also. This is one of the negative commandments of the Taryag, of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Kal v'chemer, even more so, if he says some slander about the person, and he tells the person that he's speaking to, do not repeat it in my name. In other words, I don't want him to know that this is what I'm saying. So very explicitly, he wants to conceal his hatred for him, then he will transgress this Aveira. The eighth and ninth commandment, negative commandments, which is commonly also transgressed in regarding to Lashon Hara, also is brought in Parshas Kedeshim, Vayikra Yutes, Pasuk Yutkes, and that is Losikaim Veleisitor Es Bnei Amecho. Sikaim Vesitor Mekima Vinetira refers to various types of revenge. You shall not take leisikaim veleisitor. You shall not take various types of revenge. See, against es bnei amecho, against people of your nation. Now the Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us in Yuma, Daf Chof Gimel Amar Aleph. What's the difference between sikaim and sitor? If somebody does a wrongdoing to you, for example, you ask him for a favor and he refuses to do so. You ask him to borrow something and he doesn't give it to you. And because of that, you despise him. And you despise him, you hate him for that, you hold it against him. And you keep it in your heart, the wrongdoing that he did to you, you do not forgive him, then you transgress leis sikaim. This is nekima. The fact that you hold it against him for this wrongdoing which you think he did to you, that's nekima. The Torah commanded us that if someone does something wrong to you, you have to go and talk to him and resolve it. And then eradicate it from your heart. You must forgive him, or eradicate it from your heart, or forget about the whole incident. But if you hold it against him for what he did wrong to you, that holding in your heart against him, that's nekima. And the Torah said, leisikaim, and you transgress a negative commandment. If it manifests itself into some type of action against him, see, for example, you do something now, or you don't do something, in order to get even with him, then that is netira, and you would be aver, you would transgress the negative commandment of leisitor. So this means that if someone wronged you in some way, at least according to your opinion, it was wrong, or even if it was justified. The Torah said, then you must go and you must speak to him and resolve it and forgive him, or forget about the whole incident. If you hold it against him, then that's nekima. The Torah said, leisikaim. If it brings you to some type of act, or some type of manifestation of this hatred, then that's netira. And the Torah said, leisitor. And these are two separate negative commandments. So the application here would be that if someone wronged you and you held it against him, say, and now you saw this person do something wrong, so you have a chance now to get even. You will publicize what he did to other people, to another person or other people. And this is a common case of Lashon Hara. Many times when Reuven speaks Lashon Hara to Shimon about Levi, it's because he has something against Levi. Levi might have wronged him in some way. So the fact that he held it against him, then he would transgress the negative commandment of Leisikai. And once he says the Lashon Hara about him, and now it manifests itself in some action, then he would transgress a further negative commandment of Leisitor. So we just learned three negative commandments here that all have to do with hatred. If you hate a fellow Jew in your heart and you don't reveal it to him, if you reveal it to him, then you wouldn't be over that love. But if you don't reveal to him, then you would be over Leisisne. Leisisne, this is all written together. Leisisne sochicho bilvavecho. And if he wronged you and you hold it against him, you hold a grudge against him, then you would be able to seek him. And if this brings a manifestation to try to get even with him in some way, then you would be able to seek him. There's three negative commandments. Therefore, the Chofetz Chaim says that if this evolves around Lashon Hara, if you speak in Lashon Hara against him because you hate him, and at the same time you don't reveal to him that you do hate him, then that's a negative commandment of Leisisne. If you're speaking Lashon Hara against him because you have a grudge against him, because he did something to you, that would be then Leisikai and Leisitor, because you're holding a grudge and there's a manifestation of some type of action against him. So those are three negative commandments, the 7th, 8th, and 9th, that are related to the possibility when one speaks Lashon Hara. The 10th negative commandment listed is a posuk which is written in Shaftim, Perek Yutes, Posuk Tes Vov. That's in the Devarim. There the Torah tells us, Le'yokum eidecho bi'ish, one man shall not stand up against another man as a single witness to testify, L'chol ovein l'chol chatesh b'chol cheta sheyecheto, to testify against any transaction, any transgression that the person might do, but al pishne edim, al pishle shedim yokum dover. But it must be established only through two or three witnesses. A single witness shall not get up to testify against another man. Here the Torah is telling us a principle that even in a Bez Din, where one is permitted to speak Lashon Hara, this is one of the cases where one is permitted. For example, if you're a witness in a criminal act and the Bez Din calls on you to testify, you must tell what you saw. It's Lashon Hara. You must say what you saw because it's protecting another person. And in these cases we are allowed, not only are we allowed, it is incumbent. A person is not allowed to be kevish edusa, you're not allowed to withhold testimony. If you know something, if you know that Reuven damaged Shimon, you saw an auto accident, and Reuven damaged Shimon, then you must testify. Not allowed to withhold aids. But the Torah tells us a principle here. The only time you're allowed to testify in a Bez Din, only where your testimony can have a legal effect. If your testimony has no legal effect whatsoever, then not only you're not allowed to testify, but it's an aveira. For example, if you're together with another witness and the issue requires two witnesses, then you're allowed to testify. But if you're a single witness, then your testimony is of no avail. You'd have to wait till there's another witness. If you appear to Bez Din yourself and make your statement, then since it's to no avail, then it becomes slander. Even though it's true. it becomes slander, and you're not allowed to testify. This the Gemara brings. We gave a shiur on this once, an entire shiur just on this issue, because it's very important. Tonight we'll just be able to touch on it. The source of this is the Gemara Psochim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara brings Shleisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Seinan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, he despises three things. Someone who speaks one way with his mouth and another way with his heart. In other words, chanifa, flattery, false flattery, which we'll speak about soon. And someone who knows testimony which will help his chaver, and he withholds it. And someone who sees a dvareva b'chavera, he sees his chaver commit an act of immorality. Or any other avera. A serious avera. And he wants to now testify against this person, so he shall be punished. He should get to do punishment. So he goes to Beis Din and testifies yechidi as a single witness. Ki hada tuvia chota. There were two people, one was tuvia and one was zigud. Tuvia committed an act of immorality. And this was witnessed by Zigud. Also, Zigud lechudei ba'asid be'kamei der Papa. So Zigud went to the Bezdin, to the court of a Papa, and testified against Tuvia. Nagdeho leZigud. So the Papa ordered that Zigud, the witness, should be given lashes. Omalei Tuvia chote veZigud minget. So he said, Tuvia, he did the Aveira, and I get the Malkus, and I get the lashes. Omalein, he says, yes. The Ksiv leYokum made echod biish. Says that one man shall not stand up against another man to testify against him. Va'ad lechutcha asidabe. And you testified as a single witness, and your testimony cannot help. So shem Rabbi Almokum afkisbe. So it becomes merely slander, and therefore you do get the malchus. This has many ramifications. There are some times that a single witness would help. But not very many times when it involves human human relationships or transactions between people. See? If it's, for example, you want to testify on, the Gemara says, if you want to testify on a piece of meat that we're not sure whether it's kosher or non-kosher, then in many cases one witness can testify and say, I know it's kosher, or I know it's not kosher, where we don't know what it is. But when we come to, or for example, if there is a monetary issue, sometimes one witness would be accepted to force the other person to take a shvur, to take an oath. But in cases where one witness is not accepted, in one case is to disqualify the kashrus, to disqualify a person as a kosher Jew, as an upright Jew, there we need two witnesses. So if one witness would testify, so he would transgress this commandment, this negative commandment. And when we went into length at this, this would be, for example, if I would see, say, one Shabbos morning, if I would see a sheikhet driving down Louis Both Avenue smoking a cigarette, and I would see it with my eyes, and this would render his shechita posel. See, a sheikhet that doesn't keep Shabbos, so shechita is not good. So first thing Sunday morning or Monday morning, I'd rush to the Beis Din and tell them that I'm going to testify what I saw. See, you'd be over this love, this negative commandment. Lo yokum eidechod b'ish. One man shall not stand up against another man. I'd have to bring another witness, because this is something which requires two witnesses. Not only, and I would be doing it because I would think it's the greatest mitzvah. Okay. Or, for example, if I know on another rov that he's not so reliable, so I rush to the Beis Din and I tell them that this rov is not reliable for this and this reason. Not only it's not mitzvah, but you would be chayv malchus, and you would transgress the negative commandment of layokum eid echod biish lechol over lechol chatos. One man shall not stand up against another man. You want to testify against your fellow man, then come with two witnesses. But one man shall not testify. There is a question: if you transgress this negative commandment, or just the negative commandments which involve lashon hara, and the negative commandment itself goes on the Beis Din, if they accept it. See? If they accept it, then they transgress it. This is a question in the Rishonim that we went into when we spoke about this. But at any rate, see, this is the Aveira, and this is its source, that Zigud went and he testified against his fellow man, see, against Tuvia. And he thought he was doing a great mitzvah. Meanwhile, Tuvia got off scot-free, because we are not allowed to believe one word Zigud said, no matter who he is. And Zigud ended up with lashes. So the Chofetz Chaim says many times, this Lashon Hara can involve this negative commandment also. This is another negative commandment. This would be the 11th. And that's found in Mishpotim Chof Gimel Beis. That's in last week's Sedra. There were several in last week's Sedra. This is a mitzvah that not many people are aware of. Lo siya achrei rabim lero'os. Torah tells us, lo siya achrei rabim lero'os. You shall not be drawn by the majority to do something bad. Now the Gemara learns a halacha from this. The Gemara Rashi brings in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Beis, darshans, that when we have a court trial and we have a number of judges, the number differs in regards to the particular court or the particular issue, and there's a split decision, so we go after the majority. But when it comes to vindicating someone, so then a single majority is sufficient. When it comes to condemning a person, then we cannot go after the majority so easily. Yeah. It must be a majority of at least two. A majority of one is not sufficient. It must be a majority of at least two. That's the one halacha which we darshan from here. But there's another halacha. And that is, and this is brought from Rabbeinu Yena in Maimer Nun of the Sefer Shar Yosho. If there's a group of people who are doing something wrong, and you involve yourself in that group, you participate in this group, in this wrongdoing, then you transgress this negative commandment of lo siyer achrei rabim l'ro'os, that you should not go after the majority to do evil. Therefore, if there's a group of people sitting, and you're sitting with them, and they're speaking Lashon Hara, and you feel, now this is something which the Chofetz Chaim writes is motzui mi'od mi'od, is very, very common in our time, and you feel that to be polite, well, if you feel that you should do like that because so many people are doing like that, or even if you feel you shouldn't do it, but you want to be polite, they're all talking against this person, or they're saying this and this, and I must be social, so I also join the conversation. So besides the aveir of Lashon Hara, you're also be'eved the aveira of leisiach rei rabim l'ra'us, that you are following a group to do evil. Or if you just nod your head to everything, see, you nod your head and you listen, you also would be able to savera. This is something that one has to be very careful of, because all the time we find ourselves in such situations. We find ourselves sitting with people, and then the people start talking about things which they shouldn't be talking about, and we wonder what to do. In such a situation, you're not allowed to give any assistance whatsoever. Really, what you're supposed to do in a situation is echiach techiach. There's a mitzvah says a positive commandment of rebuke. But if it's in a situation where you cannot rebuke them, then you're not allowed to give any. You should leave the group. Leave the group immediately. You should say, "Excuse me," and forget about all the social graces, and leave the group. If for some reason you cannot do that, then you have to make sure that you give no assistance whatsoever, either in the speaking of the Lashon Hara or the listening to the Lashon Hara, to indicate that you're in agreement with what's being said. Shehu azor shalei lahaskim. This is a prohibition that you should not agree, ulishaber, or come together iman she'ovel, with people who are doing an avera, af shehim rabim, even though there might be many. And then he mentions here, which he had mentioned before. We mentioned this last week, that Reb Lezer HaGodol commanded his son, Lehorkiz Benay, his son, Beni, my son, Al Teshev Bechabura Isa Emrim Genai Mechavrehem. Do not sit together with groups of people who speak non favorably about their fellow men. Because this whole conversation is going to be recorded upstairs. And when it's recorded, every name is recorded of the whole group that's sitting, whether that person is participating or not, and it's all labeled as a chaburis resha. It's labeled as an evil group. Therefore, even if you happen to be the innocent bystander, he told his son, do not stay there, you must get out of there quickly. The Chofetz Chaim adds here that this love, this is something that most of us are not aware of, as I mentioned, that this is one of the 613 mitzvahs. This love is min haTorah. But as far as other commandments which are in regards to this, which are from the Nevi'im, from the prophets, from the Divrei Kabbalah, or from the Rabbonim, he said that there's so many you cannot count. For example, if you look through the Sifrei Tilim, the Sifrei Nevi'im is full. Like Dovra Melech said, Bederech Hatoyim and Bederech Hatoyim Leiseilech. You shall not walk in the ways of Hatoyim. Ubemeshiv Leitzim Leyeshov. That you shall not sit together with Leitzim. And therefore, one has to be very careful of this. Because it's all the time we are finding ourselves in company of people who, perhaps in public opinion, are not such a Rishoyim, but in the eyes of the Torah are great Rishoyim. Because as far as the Torah is concerned, people who sit and gossip with Lashon Hara, this is from the most severe averas in the entire Torah. And therefore one must free himself some way or the other from such a chabura. Now there's another love, another negative commandment. And that's if through speaking Lashon Hara the person has a quarrel with this person, which is very common. Reuven likes to talk Lashon Hara against Shimon, slanders him, because he has an ongoing fight with Shimon. He has faribul with Shimon. This is also something that people are not aware of. Did you know that it's a negative commandment in the Torah to be machzik b'machlekes? to have a machlekes with someone, have quarrels with someone, this is one of the 613 commandments that one is not allowed to. Where is its source? Its source is in Parshas Korach, in Sefer Bamidbor, Yud Zayin Ches. After the episode of Korach, when he went to stand up against the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he wanted that he also should be Kohanim, they should be the priests, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened the earth and they all fell in. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you shall take, they had used instruments where they were to be makti ketedis, they wanted to bring incense. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you shall take all of these instruments and you shall melt them down, they were made of copper, and use them as a tzipui lemizbeach, use them as a cover for the mizbeach, zikorein livnei Yisrael, in order that all of Israel should remember, lemana shelo yikrav ish zora shelo mizera Aaron hu la'akti k'teris livnei Hashem, that no person who's not from the family of Aaron shall come to sacrifice incense before Hashem. Ve'lo yeh kekeirach v'cha'adosei kasher dibar Hashem b'yan meshelei. And that he should not be like Korach and his Eidah and his group that stood up against Hashem and Moshe. So the Gemara brings in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Omer Aleph, Azora lemachzik machlekes minayin. From where do we know that there's a prohibition for one Jew to hold, have a standing machlekes, a standing quarrel and dissension with another Jew? From the pasuk v'lo yeh kekorach u'kadosei, that you shall not be like Korach and kadosei. From there we learn that you're not allowed to have machlekes. This is a negative command. This is something, unfortunately, people are not aware of. They think machlekes, this is your province. If you want, you can have. If you don't want, you don't have to have. But it's up to you. Not so. This is one of the prohibitions of the Torah. And if a person holds machlekes with someone else, then there's the shaila on this negative commandment. Therefore, when Reuven many times is saying Loshon Hora against Shimon, and he has Faribul with him and Machlekes with him, so besides all of the other commandments he'll be over this love also. Lo yeh kekeirach b'kadosoi. The Chofetz Chaim adds on this. Incidentally, the Chofetz Chaim brings from the Smag and from Rabbeinu Yoina that they count this as a lav gomer. This is a complete negative commandment. And this would be relevant even if it's true what the person is saying. The Chofetz Chaim adds on this that there's a strong possibility that not only the Mesapid, the one who speaks the Loshon Hora, but even the Lister would also be aver of this. Because by listening to the Loshon Hora, so he gives strength to the Machlekes. See? If he would stand up and reject it and say, no, it's not true, or you're not allowed to say this, or you shouldn't be talking like this. So this can help to break the Machlekes. See? But by listening to it, just listening to it, and accepting it, he's adding to it. So therefore he holds that the one who listens also could transgress his negative commandment. Now, if the Loshon Hora is said in front of the person who's being slandered, see, not behind his back, but in front of him, then there'll be another negative commandment of Leisainu Ish Esamisei. In Vayikra, Pashas Bahar, Chofei Yud Zayin, there it states Leisainu Ish Esamisei. This is also something that people are not aware of as much as they should be. We've given many shurim on this issue alone. The Torah states twice Leisainu, which means you shall not harm your fellow man. So the Gemara tells us in Bab Metzia, Daf Nun Ches, which is the mokor, the source of this sugya, The first one is regarding an osmomen, that you shall not harm your fellow man through a monetary action. In other words, cheat him. The second prohibition is referring to an osdvorim. You shall not harm your fellow man through words. If you harm a person through words, if you hurt him, then if you metzayer him, you cause him pain, emotional pain, then you transgress the prohibition. One of the 613 mitzvahs, leiseinu, einos dvorim. The Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara gives examples. For example, if you tell a person, if a person's a baal tshuva, say, and you tell him, oh, say, last year he was eating the velis and treifas, this year he's coming. He's coming to learn Torah. This year he's a whole tzaddik. See, let's say einos dvorim. Or if you say, which is unfortunately very common, see, you say, your father or your grandfather, we know very well what he was. See, to insult a person about his father or his grandfather. Or, for example, if you come to a person and say he's an amoritz, he's an ignorant person, he doesn't know any Torah, or he's not such a good woman, he's not such a good worker. Any way that you hurt a person with words, then you transgress leiseinu ish es amisei. This is even if you're speaking to him privately. Say, kal v'chaimer if there are other people around, because then the tzar is even greater. So therefore, if you speak lashon hara against a person, let's say that you are slandering a person to someone else and he's present, then in addition to all of the other commandments, you'll be eivel leiseinu also. Now, in this vein, there is another avera. In Vayikra, Kedoshim Yutes, in Posuk Yutes, Kedoshim Yutes Yudzayin, it states as follows. We are obligated to rebuke our fellow man when we see that he does something wrong, or we feel that he did something wrong to us, or we think that he's doing something wrong against the Torah. We are obligated to rebuke him. This is a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment, and we're not dealing now with positive commandments, we're dealing only with the negative commandments. But you shall not do an avera. What does it mean? You shall rebuke your fellow man, but you shall not do an avera. So the Gemara brings, you shall not shame him. Leisiso of hate, that when you rebuke him, you shall not shame him. You shall not embarrass him. The Gemara in Erechin of Tezvov of the days says that if you embarrass a person, if you shame a person, you aver alav, you transgress a negative commandment. Which commandment? Leisisol of chait. Because the Torah said that you shall not do an aveir when you rebuke him. And that's referring to yachlimeno, to be mavayishim, to shame him. Now there's, in order to understand this properly, there's actually five principles involved here. Firstly, if you hurt your fellow man by saying words to him, then you would transgress what we mentioned before, leiseinu. See, einos dvorim. You're harming him with words. The second principle is that if, when you rebuke him, you hurt him to the point where you shame him, you embarrass him, even if it's privately, then you'll transgress a second mitzvah. Besides the mitzvah of hurting him, you'll transgress a mitzvah of leisisol of chet. which means to embarrass him. Now we're speaking even privately. For example, if you just criticize someone, or you criticize his work, see, person worked very hard, and you come in and you criticize it, and you hurt him. So that's einos dvorim. That's leiseinu. If you're rebuking him, and you say, "Why do you do this? Why do you do that?" and it's to the point where he becomes embarrassed from it, even though it's speaking privately, then you transgress the mitzvah of leisisol of chet. That when you rebuke a person, you must be careful not to shame him, not to embarrass him. The third principle is if this is before other people also. So even though there is not another new Avera, but the Avera is greater. Because we see that the Torah was concerned about the busha, the Torah was concerned about the shame of the person. So naturally there's a greater shame if others are present or if not. So therefore when you call a person down for doing something wrong and there are others present also, so then the leisisol of chet will be even greater. That's the third principle. The fourth principle is, the Rishayim learn, if this the Torah said when you're rebuking him for doing something wrong, so then kal vachomer, then how much more so if you shame him when it's not in the course of rebuking him. If while you're rebuking him for a mitzvah, which is a mitzvah, you shame him, the Torah said that you transgress the Avera. So in a case where it's not mitzvah, so how much more so? So from here we learn that if you shame a person not in the course of rebuke, you also would transgress leisisol of chet. It would be a negative commandment. And now there's a fifth principle. This is all speaking not berabim, where it's not amongst a large group of people. If this takes place amongst a large group of people, then he's shamed. So on this, it's the same Avera, but the Chazal tell us it has an einish miyuchet. It has its own punishment. That the punishment is amalbin es chavere berabim ein lechelek leilam abo. That someone who embarrasses another person publicly, he loses his chelek leilam abo, heaven forbid, loses his portion in the world to come. Tosfos in Masechta Seita wants to say even further that it's from the Avedas that a person has to give his life on before transgressing. That if you're forced to publicly embarrass someone or give your life, you're obligated to give your life. See. And the source was from Tomar, because Tomar, she was having the children. And Yehuda, who was the Dayan, thought it came from promiscuity. So he paskined, he judged, that she must be burnt. And actually it was from him. And this could have saved her, because then it wouldn't have been an act of promiscuity. And this would have saved her. But she would not reveal it. She was ready to be burnt in a fire rather than to embarrass Yehudim publicly. So the Gemara brings from here that we see Mikan that it's better that a person should be mushlach l'kiv shaneish than be malbin es penei chaveri barabi. So these are the five principles. If you hurt someone with the words, so that's the Avera of Leisenu. If you hurt him to the point where he's shamed and embarrassed, so besides the Avera of Leisenu, you would be over the Avera of Echiach as a Misech of Leisisol of Chet, that when you rebuke a person, you must not shame him. So this is speaking, even when you rebuke him for a which is a mitzvah, if he's doing something wrong, unless there are certain times when we have permission and we're obligated to rebuke someone publicly, say. That's a separate discussion. But unless it's those times, so then even when you rebuke someone justifiably, but if you embarrass him, even though it's not public, so then it's leisisol of chet, you'll be over that this aveira also. Kal vachomer, if it's not during the time of rebuke, you just embarrass or shame someone. And how much more so if there are others present, because the busha, the shame, is greater. If it's public, it's a greater public assembly, then, and that the Chazal tell us, ein lechelik leilam abo, a person loses his chelik leilam abo, it's considered a tremendous, tremendous evil, see, to publicly embarrass someone, to the point where a Jew is obligated, according to Taisfus, to give his life first, then publicly embarrass someone. So the Chofetz Chaim says that when you speak Loshon Hara on Reuven to Shimon, and Reuven is also present, which is common, so if it causes tsar to Reuven, so then it's in Leisenu. If it shames Reuven, so then it'll also be the negative commandment of Leisis Olochet. And if it publicly embarrasses him, then it's to the point where a person could even lose his chelek in the world to come. If the person that you're speaking against happens to be a widow or an orphan, then there's another prohibition. In Parshas Mishpotim, Posachov Beis, Perachov Beis, Posachov Aleph, the Torah tells us, Kol Almona V'yosem Leis Anum, a widow or an orphan, you shall not cause pain to. Im anesa ane aisoi, and if you will afflict them, kim sok yitzak elai, when they will cry to me, shemoi eshmat zakosei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will listen to their cries. V'chora api. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it makes me very angry. When he hears that widows and orphans who are so downtrodden, when he hears that they are being afflicted, even if it's justifiably, but if they are being afflicted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that makes him very angry. V'chora api. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ish nekomes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge when he's angry. V'harakti eschem bechorev. And I will kill them with the sword. V'hoyu nisheichem almonais v'neichem yesemin. I will bring midah keneged midah. I will do to them what they have done to others. I will kill them with the sword, where their wives will be widows and their sons will be orphans. This is what the Torah tells us. So the deen is that anyone who causes affliction to a widow or to an orphan, afal pi shehem ashirim, even though they are wealthy, the Gemara says, afil almanosei shel melech, even the widow of a king, see? But a widow is a downtrodden person. So they transgress this negative commandment. And as we see, it's a very, very serious commandment, because we see ein shem afurish b'Torah. The punishment is explicit in the Torah. Therefore, the Chofetz Chaim writes that someone who's saying Loshon Hara, and he says Loshon Hara on a widow, say, or on a orphan, comes into this cloud, comes into this category. And there would be this prohibition also. We've also given shurim on this in particular. And there are many halachos on how one has to act when it comes to conduct manners with a widow or with an orphan, that it must be, the Rambam brings, I think more actually, your makoris for this is the Rambam in Hilchos Deos Perek Vov, Halacha Yud. And this is brought in the Smag and in the Rabbeinu Yehin and the Chinuch. He says that the Rambam writes that always when you conduct yourself with a widow, it must be derech kovet, with a special honor. You must give her a special honor and a special distinction. The same thing with an orphan, with a special care. And never, see, make them feel bad or cause them tsar. And even if it's for their own good, it must be done very, very carefully. For example, if you're a teacher and you have an orphan in your class, so many times you must be strict with him, you must discipline him for his own good. But still, it must be different than others. You must handle him very, very differently. This is a very, very serious avera, as we see here from the Torah, which the Rishonim bring, the chiyuv is misa b'dei shamayim, that the onesh is death by the hands of heaven. And from Rashi in Parshas Mishpotim, this is something we said in a shir a long time ago, but I see the Chofetz Chaim writes this. He learns that it's not only with a widow and an orphan, but anyone who's downtrodden, kol ha'um umlolim, any underprivileged person, any downtrodden person. Say, for example, a ger. If a ger, there's other averes also, but someone, if you mitzayir a ger, there are other averes. But a ger or a very poor person, or anyone, a sick person, anyone who are from the umlolim, downtrodden people, since they are already brokenhearted and they are already humbled, so we are obligated to conduct our affairs with them in a different manner altogether. This is the Tzivui Hashem. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded. And if we are mitzayer them, if we cause them anguish, then the Aveira is a great Aveira and the punishment is a terrible punishment. So this also is in the cloud of Loshon Hara. That many people at times, especially Bali Loshon Hara, they don't distinguish who they speak Loshon Hara against. There are many other groups of people that the Aveira multiplies when you speak Loshon Hara. For example, if it's a Kohen, or if it's a father or a mother, say, or certain relatives. But these have to do with the essays, positive commandments. And that the Chofetz Chaim deals with in another section. Now we're only speaking of the negative commandments. The 16th negative commandment is also a mitzvah that most people are not aware of. And that is, there's a posuk in Parshas Maaseh at the end of Bamidbar, Lamed Hei, Posuk Lamed Gimel. The Torah is speaking of the Retzeach, the murderer. If he's a murderer through malice, if he's a murderer through error. If it's through error, then he must go to the city of refuge. Then the Torah tells us that all of these laws must be fulfilled. Because if not, then if you will let the murderer go off from his punishment, then what will happen? Le'sachnifu so'oretz asher atem bo. Sachnifu. The word sachnifu, so Rashi brings from the Targum, sechaivu. The guilt, the evil will come into the land, will soak into the land, which you are. Ki adom hu yachnif es ha'oretz, because blood will bring guilt to the land. Ho'lo oretz lo yechupa l'adam asher shufach bo. And this guilt will never be cleansed from the land. Ki b'dam sheifchei. Only with the blood of the murderer. If someone has murdered, he's a murderer with malice, then the only way that the blood of the innocent life which was taken will be atoned, and the land will be atoned, is through the blood of the murderer. So it states, Le'sachnifu. Now there's another drosha that the Sifri makes. The Sifri writes Harezu Hazora Lachanofim. This is a prohibition for Chanofim. Chanofim means flattery. That a person is not allowed to falsely flatter another Jew. And if he does, so then this is a prohibition of Leisach Nifu. You have transgressed this Aveira. And there are several Gaonim, the Rambam HaTosfos, Reb Shimon ben Gavriel, who count this amongst the 613 negative commandments if you're a flatterer. The Chofetz Chaim writes that this is very common in our times. Flattery is where you falsely raise up the person, even though he's not deserving of such honor. You'd give him honor when it's not deserved. Or you do something for him, even though it's not right to do, only because you have ulterior motives, and for purposes of flattery. He says, for example, many times, this is very common, he writes, many times you will be a person who will visit another person. He'll go to his office and visit him. He wants to make a business deal with him, or he wants something from him. And they get in a conversation. Yes, would you like a cup of tea? Yes. They're sitting and having a cup of tea. And then this person behind the desk that you've come to see, the conversation comes where you're talking about a certain individual. So this person starts to heap lashon hara on this individual, saying what he did and so forth and so on, and I don't like him and so on and so on, I don't want to do business and so forth. Now what should you do? See, you feel if you're going to disagree with him, then you're liable to get in his wrong books, and he won't be interested in pulling off this big deal that you want with him. See, right? If you disagree with him, so he won't say anything. But meanwhile, he wants to hear something from you. See, so you feel, look, it's not my ASIC. What should I get involved? See, I'll tell him, yeah, you're right, and then we'll go on. See, Chofetz Chaim says, you're right with this love. If you do that, you transgress this negative commandment. Okay. Or another case. See, another case. We have another case which is also all too common. Sometimes there's a very important individual. See, someone who's in a very influential, very powerful. He's powerful in government circles, or he's influential, or very wealthy. Business circles, other circles, whatever it might be. And another fella who's a little guy, see, he wants to get in his good books. And he knows that this influential person cannot stand Reuven. See? So he sees him one day and he tells him, you know, your friend Reuven, you know what I saw him do the other day? See? I saw him do this, and I saw him do this, and this is what he said, and so forth and so on. Because he feels that if he knows how much he hates Reuven, so if he will add a little coals to the fire, this will put him in his better books. So besides all of the other Averas that we mentioned, this is the Avera of Leisachnifu Esor, it's the Avera of Chanufa. See? A flattering. And it's a terrible, terrible Avera. And a person, he says, can be either this when the Lashon Hara is being said on the person, and he should stop him. But at least if he doesn't stop him, he should be totally quiet. If he just nods his head a little, just adds a word or two, because he feels he has to, otherwise he'll lose grace in the person's eyes, then he's Eivir and Chanufa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like Hanofim. The Sifri brings, V'yizor ha'odu min ha'chanufa shechein ein shom ruba. The punishment of Chanufa is very great. Domar Rav kol eidu shiyesh pei Chanufa le'sefer gola. Any community that has Chanufa in it will end up in exile. V'yomar v'chizda dalet kitei sein mekablim pnei ha'shchina. There are four groups that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to see. I don't want to see them here. I don't want to see them in the next world. Kat leitzim, those who are scoffers. Kat chanofim, those who flatter, because it's contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's contrary to the midas ha'emes. That's echod bepeh ve'echod beleim. That's a duplicity in people. See? The duplicity in people. Kachkorim, those who are liars, and Kat Mesapre Loshon Hora, those who speak Loshon Hora. These four groups, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to see them. So it's mentioned there, besides Balei Loshon Hora, is the Kat Kanofim. And that's the source. And the Gemara brings, it's an interesting, it's a Mishnah in Masechet Seiter. And the Membeis. There was a person by the name of Agrippus. He became the king. This was during the time of the Hashmonaim. He became the king of Israel. And he really was a descendant from Herodias. Herodias was an eved, was a slave. So he wasn't qualified to be the king. His mother was from Israel, but his father was really from Herodias, and he wasn't qualified to be the king. He had become king. And when it came the seventh year, in the seventh year, the Shemitah, so then there's a special mitzvah where everyone comes together on the last day of the Yantif, and they give the king the Sefer Torah, and he reads from the Sefer Torah. So it states he was reading. And usually it states that the king, when he reads the Sefer Torah, this is in the Azor, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, says it's Noshim. So when the king reads, he takes the Sefer Torah while he's standing, but he sits down and reads, because he's the king. Agrippa stood up. This was the honor he wanted to give the Torah, and the Chachomim praised him for it. But kishigia lelaisucha losei solecho ish nochri. But when he came to the pasuk that states that you're not allowed to put over you, to place over you a stranger as king, Zolga ein of dimais, he started to weep, because he realized that he wasn't qualified for a king. Omrulei, so the Chachomim said to him, Altishore Agrippus. He was very powerful. So they said to him, Altishore Agrippus, do not fear. Achenu ato, you are our brother. You are our brother. So the Gemara writes, Tanam ishmeder b'nosen, ba'ese shor nishaivu seni Yisrael klio. At that time, the seal of destruction, the decree of destruction, was sealed for Klal Yisrael. Shehechnifu le'agrifus. Because they falsely flattered Agrippus. Omer Reb Shimon ben Chalapta miyem shegova Agrippa shel Chanufa nisafso hadinin. From the time when flattery started to come into Klal Yisrael, so the law was distorted, because Dayonim, judges, no longer would look at every man equal, but they would treat the more powerful people, the more influential people, especially. Meniskalku amaisim, and deeds no longer could be judged. And no longer could anyone say to his friend, my deeds are greater than yours. Because kulam tzaddikim, everybody became righteous. Because even the Rosho, say, was held to be the righteous person. Flattery distorts the distinction between good and bad, between good and evil. If there is no flattery, then we know what good is, and we know what evil is. We know what a tzaddik is, we know what a rosh is. But once there's flattery, then this is the total distortion of the distinction between good and bad. Everyone is good. Because this one is good because he's got money, and this one is good because he has power, and this one is good because I need him. This is what flattery. This is Hanufa. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that this is from the groups of people that I don't want to have anything to do with. This is really contrary to the Midah of Yaakov Avinu. The great flatterer was Esav. Because Esav was the greatest Rosho, Yet he was Sa'id Befiv. Yitzchok loved him because he was able to deal with Yitzchok so well. Yaakov was just the contrary. Ishtab, he was straight. Echad b'leiv, echad b'peh. Excuse me. B'libo ekein b'fiv. So therefore, when it comes to Loshon Hara, if a person is saying Loshon Hara only to accommodate another person, a person that he feels that he doesn't want to get on the lesser side of him, or is listening to Loshon Hara for that reason, then he'll be Eiver Leisach Nifo. They bring, which is really something what we see that a person should be. The Rishonim say, how should a Jew be? In Masechta Edyos, in Perek Hay, Mishnah Vov. It states, Akiva ben Mahalalel, Heid. Akiva ben Mahalalel said, Arba Dvorim, Heid Arba Dvorim. He held four halachas. He had given decisions on four issues, which the Chachomim did not agree with him. Omru Lei Akiva. So they said to him, Chazor Boch Ba'arba Dvorim Shoyisa Eimer. Retract these four decisions which you hold for. V'nasecha Av Bezdin LeYisrael, and we will make you the Av Bezdin of the Sanhedrin. You are so great, you are fit to be the Av Bezdin, the chief judge of the entire Sanhedrin. If you will retract the four decisions that you hold, and you will hold like us, then we will make you our bezdin. So he answered, Omer lehen, Mutav li li kore sheite kol yomai, v'loy le ose sho achas roshe lifnei amokam. He says, I choose to be a fool in the eyes of people all of my days, rather than to be called a rosho, an evil person in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for 1 minute. I will not retract the decisions, because lest anyone will say that I retracted the decisions in order to get the honor of being the chief judge. So the Rishonim bring, this has to be the anog of a Jew, that when he's sitting with other people and there's tremendous pressure on him, if he doesn't condescend, if he doesn't accommodate them, so he makes himself look foolish. Mutov shia sheita bifnei abrius kol yomai. It's better that a person should be a fool in the eyes of people all of his days than a rosh sho achas lifnei hamokom. Then he should be a rosh for 1 minute before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, that he should not deviate for the truth for any accommodation where it's not acceptable in accordance to the halacha. Then we have one final negative commandment, the 17th. And that's what states in Vayikra Kedeshim Yutes Yudalet, Lo Sekalel Cheirish. You shall not curse a deaf person. The Rishonim say that you shall not curse, this refers to cursing with Hashem's name. You shall not curse with Hashem's name a deaf person. Why a deaf person? So the Gemara says, it doesn't mean only a deaf person. It means even a deaf person. Even someone who cannot hear you should not curse. So, kal v'chemer, how much more so a person that can hear. If you curse someone, whether in his presence or not in his presence, by using Hashem's name, then you transgress this negative commandment. Chofetz Chaim brings, you don't have to use Hashem's name in the way it's written in Hebrew, even if you use it in Hashem Leas, even if you use it in another language. He says, many times you hear people say, and there are people who are saying Loshon Hara, and they get angry talking about someone that they hate and they can't stand and they get angry and they start to curse him. If that's the case, then they will transgress another commandment also, which is Leisikal al Chedesh. That's the 17th commandment. So these are the 17 negative commandments that are very commonly can be involved when one speaks Lashon Hara. And especially, he writes, if one speaks Lashon Hara often, then he says there's no doubt that he will, during the course of time, transgress these 17 negative commandments. Now, this does not include the 14 positive commandments, which we will not be able to go into this evening. Perhaps at another time we'll be able to go into this, into those. Now, two things he adds here. One is, all of this is regarding if you're speaking the Lashon Hara about a Jew to another Jew. That's what we're speaking about. If you're speaking Lashon Hara about a Jew to a Goy, he says, then you get into very much greater averus. If you say slander against a Jew to a Goy, see, then it comes into even more serious things. And sometimes it can be even considered what is known as a mosfer. If you ever endanger a Jew's life, see, by putting him into the hands of a Goy, that is what is known as a mosfer. And a mosfer has a din of a retzeach, has a din of an attempted murderer or a possible murderer. And the laws are very severe in regards to that. So when you start to defame a Jew in the eyes of another Goy, there are times, depending on what you say, but there are times when you could say something that can enrage the Goy at him, and the Goy can take action against him. See? And whenever you put a Jew into the hands where a Goy can take action against him or try to incite a Goy to him, so there, that comes into very close to the category of Mosfer, where Mosfer is one of the most severest Averis in the Torah. That's one point. So we're only speaking where you're saying Lashon Hara to an, of a Jew to another Jew. Secondly, he says that you must keep in mind that of these negative commandments, the 17 negative commandments, harbe mahanal chayivan aleha misis bezni mishamayim, misis bidei shamayim, many of these averus, they carry a capital punishment from heaven. For example, if you speak against an almona, a widow or an orphan, or chilul Hashem, what we learned last week, chilul Hashem, the desecration of Hashem's name. And many of them also even touch on the possibility of a person losing his world to come. For example, if you publicly embarrass someone with your Lashon Hara, right? Or, this we mentioned last week, if you miskabed beklein chavera, if a person has a downfall and now you're heaping Lashon Hara on him and exploiting it for your own good, your own honor. See? So therefore, not only is there a tremendous amount of prohibitions here in number, but also in the seriousness, in the great seriousness of the Averis. This covers the negative commandments. As I mentioned, that perhaps another opportunity we'll have to go through the 14 positive commandments. Not only do we learn a lot about Lashon Hara here, but we learn a lot about many, many mitzvahs. As the Chofetz Chaim said, that it's just about encompasses, this Avera just about encompasses all of the mitzvahs, which deal in human relations. Human relations is perhaps the most difficult area in the life of a person. And the Torah, which is Drochel Darchei Neim V'chol Nesi V'oseh HaShalom, which its drochim are those of pleasantness and of peace, instructed us, guided us in human relations. And there can be no peaceful human relations as long as there's Lashon Hara amongst Jews. That's clear. So any person who tries to say it's not important, say, it's not necessary, besides being totally ignorant, see, of so much mass of Torah knowledge, but it's also, like the Chazal saying, it's bringing a total breakdown to the shalom, to the human area of human relations, to Klal Yisrael, and anything that comes from that. Therefore, we should constantly grow in this mitzvah and be zeicher to see great fruits from it. Now, the Chofetz Chaim writes that these laws are me'akev es HaMashiach. They stop the Mashiach from coming. If people want to know why hasn't the Mashiach come yet, why doesn't it come now? He says, this is the answer. Why does he say this? He says, simple reason. Because let us go and see what caused the exile. If we'll find out what caused the exile in the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and then from there we can learn what will cause the ingathering of the exiles and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And as we quoted at the beginning, what caused the exiles in the Churban Beis HaMikdash was the Loshon Hara and all of the Sina, the breakdown of human relations between people. So therefore, he writes that as long as these Averas are prevalent amongst us, then this is what is being Me'akev HaMashiach. See, we don't have to look for other things that are being Me'akev that stops the Mashiach coming. And we don't have to look for other things to bring the Mashiach. It's all explicit. Torah tells us, the Gemaras tell us explicitly, okay, what caused the Churban. The Mesilas Yeshorim writes in a place, he says, a dying hasotan merakib b'neinu. The same sotan that caused the Churban is still between us. So we don't have to look for other sotans. This is the key. And therefore, this is the great importance of being mechazik, strengthening oneself in these mitzvahs that we learned this evening. And be made of Yomeinu, we should see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the ingathering of the exiles.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.